Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who just broke the record and ate the 59th chicken nugget, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special voicemail edition of our recap of Survivor San Juan del Sur, episode number 10 here over Thanksgiving weekend. Of course, in our first part, we spoke with Richard Hatch and talked to him about everything that he thought about this episode. And now we're going to get to your voicemails. And today I'm going to be joined by a man who is a good friend. You know him from being the host of Mad Men podcast, in addition to a number of the shows that he's done on postshowrecaps.com, including most recently the Boardwalk Empire recap podcast on Postshow Recaps. Here's Mr. Jeremiah Panhorse. Jeremiah, how are you?
What is up, Rob? How you doing, man?
I'm doing very good. Now, Jeremiah, is this your first appearance back on RHAP since you went to go and do the controversial review of the movie 180?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, me and you did a couple of some.
Oh yeah, that's true. We talked Mad Men also. Yeah,
this is the first time I've been back on to talk about something sort of related to Survivor. Now, I mean, of course, that movie was amazing, and being there for the red carpet review, wow, what a treat that was.
Yeah. So if you're a new listener to the show, Coach made a movie back in what, 2011?
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it's been that long?
Yeah. And so they were having the screening of the movie, and Coach's movie was called 180, and it had Danielle DiLorenzo in it as well as his love interest, right?
Of course. Yes.
Yes. Double D. And then Jeremiah went to go cover the premiere for us and report it back. But then your review, which, you know, you were completely down the middle, fair. And, you know, you weren't sucking kneecaps. I guess was it the producer or the director then called in and they were mad?
Yeah, he's actually the director and the producer, I think. But yeah, he wasn't too happy with my review at all. He was a little upset. I felt bad too. I really did. I didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings.
Well, too bad nobody called in on the 1000th episode with that moment.
I know. I was really disappointed. I was really disappointed that episode didn't make it on the best of RHAP, but
yeah.
Well.
Okay, and so we're going to go ahead and get into all of your voicemails from this last episode. It's the start of what should be another busy week on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, on Monday, I'm going to have my exit interview with Wes and talk to him about everything. Of course, everybody was home on Thursday and Friday at CBS in terms of the PR department and everybody that facilitates the exit interviews. So we're going to have that on Monday on our exit interview podcast. And then I'm also going to have a special bonus podcast that I was trying to get in touch with the Codys over the past week or so. I want to get them on the podcast. So they are going to be doing a special interview with me, Candace and John Cody. Talk to them about what they think about Blood versus Water 2, John and Jacqueline, all of that stuff. I'm going to have that for you guys. I'm going to record that Monday night. So by Tuesday morning, I'm going to have a special Cody cast for you guys as well. And then on Wednesday, I can't believe it, it'll be time to get back into Survivor Know-It-Alls for a double Survivor episode. Two episodes back to back. Two episodes of Survivor, not two episodes of Survivor Know-It-Alls. That's going to be back to back on Wednesday night. And then on Thursday, we'll get back into our next exit interview, probably a double exit interview on Thursday. Hopefully the calls are at different times. And then we will do our big long-awaited Tyson cast for this season coming up on Thursday, Jeremiah. How about that?
Whoa, Cody cast and Tyson cast all in the same week.
All in the same week?
That's crazy talk. I know. That's crazy talk, my friend.
And two episodes of Survivor on Wednesday.
Jeez. I mean, that's an epic week.
It's a huge, it's a huge level one week. Yes. Yes. Very, 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 very huge.
This is huge.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to get into all that coming up. Just one more thing before we get into the voicemails. Hey, Monday, Jeremiah, is Cyber Monday, and that is the biggest online deal day of the year. And the best place to go is Amazon.com. They've got everything you need on Cyber Monday, all of the best deals, lots of one-day markdowns. So if you want to check that out while you're at work on Monday, check out our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. And Jeremiah, I can only speak for myself. Will you be offended if anybody is perusing Amazon while they're listening to us?
No, I wouldn't be offended at all.
Okay.
You know, I do it myself. I do it Amazon all the time.
While we're talking, you're going to be
while,
on there?
Yeah, while we're talking right now. I'm shopping right now.
Is there anything, is there any gift ideas that you have for the survivors that we can get on Cyber Monday on Amazon?
I don't know. Actually, I was going to look up that amazing toilet the contraption that Hatch was talking about.
Yeah, I don't know if they have that on Amazon.
Oh, they don't? Oh, man. That's disappointing.
Yeah. All right. So all sorts of things. If you want to go directly to check out the Cyber Monday homepage, click on the banners in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. All right. So, Jeremiah, before we get to the voicemails and starting them up, any thoughts overall on this season? I know right before we came on, you wanted to know, you said that this is the spittiest season you've ever seen.
Absolutely. I've never seen more spitting in my entire life. And I've been watching the show since the first season, and I don't remember this much spitting. Have you ever seen this much spitting in your life?
Boy, I'm trying to think of another instance where we've seen so much spitting on Survivor. Certainly in the gross food competitions, we've definitely seen some spitting. But there are a lot of spitters on this season.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously Keith is the ringleader of the spitting, but you know, then last night Wednesday night's episode, we see Reed, of course, do it during the challenge, and then Natalie, of course, has a very misfortunate misfire with hers. I was just like, going, what is going on here? I mean, I don't know what the editors are trying to tell us.
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody has a lot of saliva, a lot of mucus ready to go in this season, and
maybe it's something in the atmosphere down there. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's just all of those temptations that Jeff has. They're so mouthwatering. It's like they're just getting a lot of saliva in the mouth. Okay.
So, that's probably what it is.
Probably what it is. All right. So let's jump into talking about some of the voicemails from everybody. All right. Let's start off with, let's go to Peter from New Jersey to kick us off on our special voicemail show. Here is Peter.
Hey, Rob. This is Peter from New Jersey. I wanted to know if you thought Reed made a mistake by trying to get John voted off. Why not go for someone less likely to have an idol, such as Missy or Baylor? Do you think Reed went for a home run when he should have just went for a single? Love to hear your thoughts.
All right, Jeremiah, how about this idea of, was it a mistake on Reed's part to go for John instead of somebody like Missy, who definitely did not have an idol? Now, we assume that Reed know that he has the idol?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's unclear.
I don't believe we've ever, at least I don't believe they've shown us on the episode whether or not he, I would think it's possible he knows, but there's also a good chance he does not know. But this is a good question for Peter. I mean, seriously, it is something that I would certainly think about, because you know, if you go after the big target and it fails, you know, it could wind up being terrible, which of course is what happened now with Reed. So if he would have gone off after someone of a smaller target, you definitely think he might have had a better chance of making it happen.
But is the idea to go with the safest move possible? I thought you have to make big moves on Survivor.
Well, that's exactly...
You gotta make big moves, right?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what Jeff and the producers definitely want the players to do. They want them to make big moves. But, you know, to me, a big move, don't you think, is finding some way to split the five up.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta somehow get the numbers in your favor if you possibly can. But I think the way Reed looked at it is, in this kind of way I look at it, is John and Jacqueline are by far the two most dangerous people in the game. And you have to find some way to split them up. You know, otherwise, one of these two are going to win, right?
Well, I don't know necessarily if that's the case, but I think this is nitpicking. This is Monday morning quarterback to say that Reed should have put the votes on to Missy instead of John. I think that that's not the problem with the plan. Let's go to Julia, who has a question. Maybe we can figure out exactly what the problem with the plan is here. Here's Julia's question.
Hi, Rob. This is Julia from Pittsburgh. Love the podcast. It seemed like Reed had a pretty good plan going for the John blindside. No one saw it coming, and both him and Alec were doing a good job of playing double agents. But obviously, when Reed was talking at Tribal, he made Keith nervous, which made Keith blow the whole plan when he said out loud to stick with the plan at Tribal. Was Reed's plan too complicated for his alliance? And if you were in Reed's position, how would you make sure that the plan goes through? Would you reassure Keith more before the tribal council? Or would you just avoid talking at all at tribal? Thanks. Love the podcast.
See, I think this is more in line with what the actual problem was. The plan itself was fine. I think that Reed was just getting too cute with trying either to make sure that those guys definitely in his own fake voting block, I want to say people in his own alliance, but he has an alliance with everybody seemingly, according to like everybody who's there thinks Reed is on their side going into that vote. So that's a little bit of a tricky situation for him to deal with. And so I was probably in a similar situation in Survivor of the Amazon when we get to the vote at the final seven, where I've got Alex and Jenna and Heidi thinking I'm with them. And then I've got Matt and Butch and Christy thinking I'm with them. And probably I would say maybe Keith and Butch are probably like similar players. They're probably on the same level. And
I'll tell you what,
I wasn't saying anything that was going to I was given vague answers.
Right. This way I look at it is, if you want to look at some blame for Reed, maybe this is where you look at it. I mean, because you have to know, I mean, he talked about this in the episode about, you know, having to be careful that everyone sticks to the plan. He's got to know the type of players he's playing with. And I think even Hatch, of course, mentioned this a lot in your podcast with him, is that you got to really know the players you're playing with. And Keith is one of those players that, you know, if you try to be really clever in tribal council, that someone like him might get thrown off and think that there's something else going on, and it could really mess up your game. I mean, personally, I've never played the game, but personally, I would be very, very careful what I say in tribal council for this particular issue because of this exact fear of this happening, right? I mean, but you definitely would be the best person to answer this. I mean, since you were able to successfully move back and forth in your alliances throughout Amazon, I mean, what do you feel? That's the move to make, right? To be very careful what you say, right?
Yeah, you don't want to give away any information. And unfortunately for Reed, you know, he does a very good job with his own poker face, but his bluff is so convincing that he ends up tricking somebody in his own alliance. I pulled the clip of, this is Keith's response to when Wes is saying that, hey, people could be playing the idols, and then Jeff goes to him. And then, so here's what Keith had to say.
Idols are everywhere. Idols are everywhere. I say stick to the plan. You know, at this point, that's all I can say.
Wow, John, stick to the plan.
Now, why? Why does Keith, like when Jeff is like, wow, John, stick to the plan, he just has like this maniacal laugh that he just does.
They come out of nowhere too, man. I did not
stick to the plan.
what was that?
It's not, why is that funny?
I don't know. It didn't make absolutely no sense at all. He just started, like you said, like the evil is laughing. I'm like, going, what is he doing? Oh my gosh. The look on Reed's face too, you know, whenever it happened, he was just like, oh man. I really don't know why it was funny to him, but it sure was great television.
Yeah, it was really crazy. Like, it's just like, was it a nervous laugh? Because he's like, is he nervous that Reed flipped and that he's trying to talk Reed back into the plan?
I'm thinking that that's probably what it was. But yeah, it was funny. He's like, there's idols everywhere, everywhere. There's idols over here. Everywhere. I'm like, what in the world? Oh my gosh. That was awesome.
Oh, Keith. Yeah, and so Keith suddenly, you know, he took out Reed's game. He totally screwed Reed's game. He screwed, you know, Wes's game in quotation marks. So Wes is out of the game, but he's still there.
No, I absolutely. I mean, the whole thing spiraled so badly for these guys. I mean, they had a perfect thing going on, and then it fell apart so quickly. It was amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we'll see. But yeah, I just think that Reed's got to be more careful. I think the lesson for the future Survivor player is like when Jeff is like, all right, Reed, you know, there's lots of idols out there. Like, don't like point blank, you know, put the accusation on somebody unless you tell them that you're going to do that. Like, I know that he didn't know that the line of questioning was going to go there, and he sort of like took an opportunity and jumped on it. But the problem was that he just confused a guy who was, it was almost kind of like the thing where, you know, a quarterback is like, gets like a new receiver on the team, and now the quarterback is like calling an audible at the line of scrimmage. And then like the receivers who've like worked with the quarterback for a long time, they know the audibles, like, you know, Manning could just be like making up fake words at the line of scrimmage, and like the guys who've played with him for a long time know it's just nonsense, and he's just trying to like get the defense to do something. But the guy who just got on the team is like, wait, what does that mean? Like, hey, Peyton, like, what are you, like, what are you saying? Like, let's just go with the play that guy that got called. Okay, this audible is no good.
Yeah. You know, he could so take that laugh and like be like, you know, like if you're going to like one of those haunted houses, you know, and you walk in and you hear this evil laugh, that's it right there.
Who goes there?
Well, maybe, you know what, maybe he, for all we know, he does that on a side down there in Louisiana. Maybe he's got to deal with some local haunted houses during the Halloweens. He offers up his laugh.
Go on Keith's haunted hayride.
Could you imagine how awesome that would be?
Oh my god. I wonder, like, if you go on Keith's haunted hayride, will you be okay?
As long as you keep burping, I guess you're okay.
That's the key, by the way, too.
All right.
Plenty of burping and spitting and you're fine.
As long as you keep burping, you'll be okay.
Yeah, all right. Exactly.
All right, let's take a question. This comes up a lot on the podcast. People are always talking about the commercials ruin things for them, but this is somebody, Daniel, he feels like the previously on Survivor ruined the episode for him. Here's Daniel Latiano.
Hey Rob, do you know why I liked the last episode so much? That is because we as viewers were completely blindsided as to who was going home. So I give kudos to the editors, but I'm gonna take that away because I felt I was spoiled the very few minutes of this episode. Usually they would kind of talk about the boot in general and Jeremy's alliance in that case, but they talk so much about the idol in that intro that it kind of gave away that it's gonna be used, especially that third idol that hasn't been found yet and Natalie finds it, and in 24 days no one has used an idol, and there you go, to use that episode, and that kind of gave it away, and I think that actually ruined the surprise that was present the last week's episode. And if I really want to be spoiled, I'll watch the next week's preview, not the beginning of the episode. Tell me what you think about it. Take care, and of course, happy holidays.
Okay. So, Jeremiah, we talked about this a little bit on the Know-It-Alls, but when they brought up this third idol in the preview for the episode, did that immediately have your mind going towards, okay, they're probably going to find that third idol?
Well, I think for someone like myself who like overanalyzes every silly thing that's on the show, of course, when I saw it, I was immediately felt like I was being spoiled. I thought at least I knew at least more than one idol was probably going to get played tonight. The other idol did kind of throw me off a little bit because I think like a lot of us, we kind of forgot about that there was a potential third idol out there. But yeah, you kind of knew just by that front of the front there of the previous on Survivor thing, you knew that it was that's probably what was going to happen. And it's definitely a complaint for most of us super fans that do love the show. It does annoy us a little bit that they are so forward in what's, you know, going to happen. I don't need that much foreshadowing.
I don't want to say that it ruined the episode in any way, because that Natalie idol ended up not being a factor in the episode, but you definitely knew that it was going to get found by the fact that they were bringing it up in that episode, yeah. Right?
I'm not saying it ruined the episode. It still was a fantastic episode, definitely level one episode. I'm just saying that particular part of the episode was sort of ruined because you had to figure that they wouldn't be saying this if it wasn't meant that it's going to be you know, in the episode. So, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, they're trying to make a television show. They're trying to build up as much excitement for it as they can. And so sometimes, you know, maybe us hardcore fans get a little annoyed by it, but you have to realize they have a broad audience. They're trying to, you know, appease and make this episode as exciting as possible. And that's what they feel like they need to do.
Well, Jeremiah, now you are a Mad Men podcaster. And of course, Mad Men does something completely unique with their coming attractions. If you are not a Mad Men fan, like the previews, like next time on Mad Men, it's every episode is like the, you know, the shots will be like, you, like Don Draper, like walks in the room, like, hello. And then like somebody answers the phone, like, who is this? And then it's like, they don't give you anything in the would you prefer that Survivor moves to that where it's just like it's like, so, next time on Survivor, Survivor's ready, go. like welcome to Tribal Count. Like, it's just like shots that are just gonna be in every single episode.
If Matthew Weiner was the executive producer of the show instead of Jeff, I bet you that's exactly what we'd get. You would just see and Natalie going, where's the idol? You know, and then you see Keith going, there's idols everywhere, you know. It would be so cryptic. You would have no idea what was going to happen in the episode. Yeah. But no, I don't feel like we need that. I mean, to me, that Mad Men is a perfect example of the exact opposite of this, like you said. And I don't think that necessarily serves anything great as well. So, because that, you know, there's just as many fans of that show that complained about those. Next time on Mad Men's more than anything else about the show. It's crazy. So, you know, you as a fan, you, no matter which direction they go as the editor and the producer of the show, either way, somebody is not going to be happy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's too, you know, much, too little.
Say? Yeah. Yeah. It's either too much or too little, but maybe they got to find some middle ground. That would be perfect.
Yeah. We need the Goldilocks edit in these previews.
Oh, there you go. Yes, the Goldilocks edit. I like that.
Okay. Let's go ahead and let's take a question. Let's go to Ruben from Australia. Wants to talk about the winner's edit, something we've been talking about quite a bit these last couple of weeks.
Hi, Rob. It's Ruben here from Australia. I just wanted to talk about the idea of the winner's edit because I know that's getting a lot of mention these days. I was just going back and watching a video by Jeff Probst on METV Legends where he talks about the fact that there's only about 3 or 4 people who actually watch the votes from the final tribal council. And it doesn't sound like the editors are necessarily there watching it. So does this mean that the people who are editing the show don't even know who wins? In that case, can there even be a winner's edit? Keen to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
This is an interesting question. You know, we've talked about this a lot. We've heard from a lot of fans who say, what are you talking about? Of course, there's a winner's edit. There's definitely a winner's edit. And there's other people who say there's no such thing as a winner's edit. And so we've heard both sides of this. I mean, I think that in a case where it's an obvious winner, I think there's clearly an obvious winner's edit. But in seasons where the winner is going to sort of be somebody who we're not really expecting, like, I don't think there necessarily is always a winner's edit.
No, and I know what you're trying to say. I mean, you look back at One World, I thought, especially midway, there it was so clear to me that Kim was going to win. I had no doubts about it, right? And it just then everything seemed like it was highlighting the fact that she was going to win this. And, you know, Redemption Island, Boston Rob, I mean, we can make many different examples of it. But I think you're right. I think in a season where, you know, maybe even the producers themselves were a little bit taken back by who actually won the game, it makes it a little bit easier where you can adjust the edit to where, you know, it could be just about anybody. And I think in this season's a perfect example of that because I've kind of gone back and forth all season of bars who I think could possibly win this thing. Even today, I'm still scratching my head. I'm not exactly sure who's going to win this thing.
Yeah. And right? I think that they've given us enough on a few different people that you could say, like, okay, this person has a winner's edit. And Steven and I talked about it the other night, in particular with John. And there's definitely enough stuff where you could say that, okay, well, his winner story was being told throughout the season. But I think there's a few other people, too, that you could say. And there's a few people that I think you could probably rule out as well because they just have, we haven't seen their story. But I just feel like this is a season where it's not going to be like there's one person that gets a really dominant edit all the way through.
Yeah, and then, you know, you look at stuff, people like Jeremy and Josh early on, they were just doing such a great job as far as telling the story on their side of the tribe and their side of the alliances that, you know, they always try to gravitate, you know, to those particular players that are doing a really good job in the confessionals about telling those stories. So those people are going to get a lot of airtime for that particular reason, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win her. But I'm kind of a lot like Steven, where I'll buy into a lot of time. I really was thinking Josh was or Jeremy was going to win this thing. And then, you know, we get surprised. Ah, it's pulled on us where they are not going to be the winners. So I'm cool with that because I want to be surprised as much as possible. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be surprised as much as possible in the episode. But I do agree with you. I think every season you can at least look at players. You can say this person probably has no chance to win. And then you just look at the people who are left and then, you know, one of those people are going to be your winner.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Do you feel like, Steven, that the edit is pointing to John?
I think John is at in one of the top three people you would say, I think, has a chance to win the game.
Yeah. I feel that way also based on edit. Like, I feel like his position in the game, I'm not totally sure how he's going to pull it off. But, you know, just looking at it alone, like, he definitely has gotten a very positive story arc.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Let's take a question here from Quint up in Saskatoon. Here's Quint.
Hey, Rob. Quint from Saskatoon. A great philosopher once said, two girls, one brain, divide by two, only one half-wit left. Since Missy and Baylor seem to share one brain, what do you think the allocation of that brain is between the two of them? It seems like Missy has more of it. If she got voted out, would we be left with a quarter-wit, a tenth-wit? What do you think? Thanks.
All right. Well, Quint, That was a great quote you gave us from probably a very smart philosopher. But I have to say that I disagree with that assessment of Missy and Baylor. I don't think that they are sharing a brain. I think that Missy, of course, Muffin, she is clearly in the front seat.
Get in the back seat and let me drive.
And Baylor has to be in the back seat or she's grounded when they get home.
Well, right. And isn't that where the children usually always sit anyway, is in the back seat, right? My kids always sat in the back seat.
Yeah. So I would say that I don't think it's necessarily that they're sharing a brain. I mean, we saw Baylor earlier in the season, you know, have to scramble at times. And so I don't think that's necessarily that she is unable to think without her mom. But right, while her mom is around, like, her mom is calling the shot. So I wouldn't say that it's sharing a brain. I just think that she is, you know, completely under her mother's thumb, something that we did not say about Sierra in the first Blood versus Water.
Yeah, and you know, if you spend enough time, you're like, I get to see firsthand how my wife and daughters talk to each other and interact and work through problems and stuff. You know, it's just, you know, that's how a mother and daughter, a lot of times, they'll work through things. It doesn't necessarily mean they're always agreeing with everything, because trust me, they don't. Mother and daughters hardly ever do agree on a lot of things. But, you know, I think it's just the way they interact with each other and stuff like that, which is great. That's what one of the things I do like about Blood versus Water is getting to see two people that are in their environment together, right? Mother and daughter and how they react with each other. Because what's great about that is now the other players get to see how they act, you know, each other. Because we've already seen Keith, you know, question Missy's parenting skills and stuff like that. You know what? If Missy didn't have her daughter in the game, you wouldn't have not know exactly how Missy, you know, is as far as how she is for a mother. So it makes for a whole other aspect in the game. But yeah, I don't feel like the two of them are sharing a brain. I think they both kind of have their own differences as far as who they, you know, what moves they should make and so on and so forth.
Now, Jeremiah, did you catch this week that Missy and Baylor were not quite getting along so well during the challenge? Now, they're not exactly a Betty and Sally Draper, but
no.
When we got to where Missy stepped down, she was like, oh, it's so nice down here on the sand. And Baylor got mad. Listen to what she said to her mom.
Shut your mouth, homie G.
Shut your mouth, homie G.
Wow. Wow.
And what did Missy say back to Baylor?
I'm not talking to you. Well, I heard smarty it. Poo.
Not talking to you, smarty poo.
Smarty poo. Is that what the is that the new language now? I don't know.
So Jeremiah, what is your favorite Baylor versus Misty put down? Do you like
shut your mouth, homie G?
Shut your mouth, homie G.
I'm not talking to you.
Well, I heard
smarty
it.
Poo.
I'm not talking to you, smarty poo.
I don't know. That's a tough decision. I might lean towards, ooh, man, Smarty Poo's pretty nice.
I'm not talking to you, Smarty Poo rhymes.
That's true.
But
could Baylor work it dead? Now, is Baylor thinking about maybe working some of these in and some new lyrics to one of her next upcoming songs? You know?
I don't know. Shut your... The follow-up to Sticky Situation, shut your mouth, homie G.
Shut homie your mouth, homie G.
Shut your mouth, homie G. Yeah, well, obviously, I'm not a creative artist like she is, but I'm sure she can work this in. I'm
yeah.
looking forward to it. Hey, will she have to pay us royalties, though, if she decides to go with this idea?
Well, no, because she said she's the first one that said
that's
it.
True.
We're just
you're right.
We're just playing the clip. We're
shut
quoting her.
Shut your mouth, homie G.
Yeah, shut your mouth,
well,
homie G.
If it becomes another big hit for her, I think that she could at least give you some thanks. You know, I mean, give you some praise for that, right?
I would hope so. Now, is homie G Missy's nickname?
That's a good question. Maybe it is. What kind of nickname is that, though? That's what I'm wondering.
Because she
Have
responds
you ever had
to
anybody
it.
Call you that before?
Homie G? No.
No.
I don't know, because, I mean, she is... Missy does use, you know, street slang often on the show.
Love you, mm-hmm. Bae.
Yeah, she's using Bae, so maybe she is Homie G.
This is a good question. Well, you know, when you get a chance to interview him, you're going to have to ask him this question. We need to know where this kind of street language has come from.
Missy has so many different aliases between Muffin, mm-hmm. Homie G.
Mm-hmm. Man, oh man.
Yeah. And is Smarty Poo an official nickname for Baylor?
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe so.
Or is that just...
Is this something that's come up with them before in the past, you know?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Smarty Poo. Okay. All right.
You know, I'm starting to wonder, maybe a reality show following these two around might be a good idea.
Yeah. Well, also that Missy talked about when they went to go to the baseball field that how she's a single mom of two daughters. I want to know about the other daughter.
Yes. We do need to hear more about the other daughter.
Yeah. Is the other daughter just like... pissed because she's not on Blood versus Water? She's not the one with the music contract. Like, is she just sort of like the forgotten child? Is she sort of like the Cinderella in this story?
I don't know. Maybe the next season of Survivor will be Baylor versus her sister. She was so annoyed by the fact that she was not picked to be on Survivor. She's now going to teach Baylor a lesson. What do you think?
I think it could be good. Maybe Baylor versus her sister could be like the new like Aris versus Vetus.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe Baylor is like the Aris and the other sister is like the Vetus and she's got like a bad attitude.
Vetus, you should totally come to yoga.
Yeah.
They probably definitely both need to definitely get some yoga classes, though, with these, don't you think?
Yeah. Okay, well, that would be an interesting follow-up to this season. Okay.
I would pay for this. I would pay to see this.
You would pay money to watch the
sure.
Baylor versus her sister season?
Yeah, and especially if in between they get lessons with Vetus on from yoga. You know, like he'll come out. They're like, no, and you know what it is? They'll have a special Exile Island. And when you get to Exile Island, Vetus will be there to show you how to do yoga.
Wow.
What do you think?
I think that'd be pretty good. I'm sure Vetus would like that.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, also, the other thing that complicates this, do they have the same dad, Missy Baylor and her sister?
Oh, I don't know.
Are they from different marriages? That could complicate things.
Well, we do know Missy has had quite a few husbands, so it's
yeah,
very
three.
Possible.
So it's
very
it's,
possible.
It's possible. I think that would add to the intrigue of the Baylor versus her sister season. All right.
We need to get the interns on this.
All right, let's
take it, find out.
Let's take a question. This is a question from Wes.
Hey, Rob, it's Wes, longtime fan. Weren't you on that episode of David Letterman where you were like in a convenience store and you made David Letterman laugh? Yeah, that was awesome, man. I guess my question is there anyone my dad can meet in the inn? And if so, who? Because I don't know if any other women are rooting for my dad. Thanks. Bye.
Was that Wes Nail?
I was going to say, Wes Nail is already on the show and calling in.
Calling in? Can't wait for our exit interview on Monday.
This is fantastic news.
This is an all-star show. All right, so Wes, yes, that was me. I was in the convenience store on the Two and a Half Men, or on David Letterman's show. By the way, let's just talk about that. I have the clip from Wes from the other night, which was fantastic.
What about the episode of Two and a Half Men when you were naked cooking pancakes or something? Or?
Cooking bacon?
Bacon. Right.
That's fun.
That's awesome, dude. I love that show.
What about the episode where you were making pancakes? And Jeff's like, yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
See, you know, when I heard that, of course, I was laughing hysterically about that, but I started thinking, wow, I wonder what other things Wes like asks Jeff in between times, you know, like, hey Jeff, you know, and starts asking him other questions about
what else
stuff
could he ask him.
I don't know, that's what I'm wondering. You know, I assume if it wasn't as good as this, they probably would have showed it, right?
Does that surprise you that Wes is a big Two and a Half Men fan?
Oh, well, not really. No, I could see him watching that. Why? Does he not strike you as a Two and a Half Men kind of guy?
Oh, no, he 100% strikes me as okay, a Two and a Half Men kind of guy.
Very good, yeah.
I think he's writing that key demo of Two and a Half Men.
Well, you know, I would love to see Wes fill in as the son.
Yeah, he's kind of look like Angus. Right? I forget what the kid's name was on the show.
I know, I can't think neither. But yeah, wouldn't you like to see him fill in? That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I think he's like a stunt double for that kid.
They could have a whole episode about him eating chicken nuggets.
Yeah, it is very exciting. All right, what about, as far as Keith goes, is there anybody that Keith can beat in the finals?
Oh, man. This is a fantastic question. I mean, you definitely would say Alec, right? You think he can beat Alec?
I mean, here's the problem for Keith is that John and Jacqueline don't like them.
That's true.
And Missy and Baylor don't like Keith. So it's, I mean, of those seven people, they were all voting against Keith. I don't know, in a final three situation, I don't know if I can sort of come up with the people that are going to be going for Keith. Like, there's always going to be other people that they could vote for. Maybe if he's like up there with like Reed and Alec. I mean, I don't know how they would get to that point.
Yeah, that's a good question. And you know, I know there's been a lot of discussion about the fact that everybody hates Reed. But you know, if Reed was to find a miracle way now, especially and make it to the finals, don't you have to at least think about giving it to him? Even if you rub your own way. I mean, he almost pulled that off an amazing move in this last episode. So.
If one of those guys gets there with Keith, that they're going to get it because, like, you could say, like, okay, well, Keith is going to get Josh's vote maybe and stuff like that. But then if Reed's there, then he doesn't even get Josh's vote. And so, I mean, he'd get Wes's vote no matter what. But, you know, give me three more people that are going to vote for Keith in the finals that aren't going to have a better person that they like.
I'm looking at who's on the jury right now, and I just... It would be really, really tough.
I can see him getting an Alec vote also along the way.
Yeah, but I almost think he needs to, if in a final three, I almost think he has to consider Alec on there unless, well, I don't know. So who's less liked? Do you think is, and a lot of people talk about Missy and Baylor not being very well liked. I mean, are they so well liked that if he was in a final three with those two girls?
Yeah, that would have to be the way that he would be able to do it, like where he's in the finals with a pair. So it's like the people that are either like Missy and Baylor will, whatever support they have, they'll split it. And then he could collect all of the anti Baylor and Missy votes from all the people that may, that don't like them.
Shut your mouth, homie G.
I will not.
Man, she really throws that out there, doesn't she?
Yeah, how dare you?
How dare her?
So
yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the three. That would be the three. And I'm not saying for sure he's going to win, but he'd have at least a shot, right? Yeah.
And this would be maybe the one scenario where Keith could win the game.
Would that be the laugh he would go with if he won?
I think so.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Okay.
That'd be great.
Let's take another question here, and let's go and visit in with our good friend Jessica Frey. And she has a question about Wes.
Hey, Rob, it's Jessica Frey, and I just watched the episode, and I wanted to get your take on something that happened in the episode. I think we have a little challenge. I think we need to have Alex Stein back on the podcast, because I think Wes challenged Alex Stein to a chicken nugget eating contest, maybe for the rappy holidays or something. But yeah. Great episode. I am totally excited for Team Natalie. She rocked it. Okay, looking forward to the podcast. Bye.
All right, Jessica Frey wants to know who would win the battle between Wes and Primetime 99 Alex Stein in the McNugget off. Okay, first off, here is Wes from the episode talking about his talents with the McNuggets.
I ate 58 chicken nuggets in 5 minutes and won the eating contest once.
Well, what is that contest? The eating contest?
Yeah.
I ate 58 chicken nuggets in 5 minutes and won the eating contest once.
Now,
eating contest?
Now, I'm not familiar with that one.
Even Jesse, is that an annual event?
That was great. You know, he's thinking, you know, is this like the Coney Island hot dog eating contest? I heard of that, but yeah. the chicken, what does he say? Chicken nugget?
Chicken? I ate 58 chicken nuggets in 5 minutes.
Five minutes. 58 nuggets in 5 minutes. That's a lot of nuggets, because now you can get nuggets in a six pack. You can get them in a nine pack, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then the next size is 20. Right?
I think that's correct. 20? Yeah.
And so they have to get 3 20 packs of the nuggets.
Man, I don't know. That's a lot of nuggets.
That's a lot of nuggets. And now there was a McDonald's like right in the town where I went to college in Oswego, New York. And believe me, I saw some college students at certain times eat a lot of chicken nuggets in one sitting. But I have never seen anybody eat 58 chicken nuggets in one sitting. Do you think he was all right after that?
Ooh, I don't know.
As long as you keep burping, I guess you're okay.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say, as long as he kept burping, he should have been fine. I mean, you know, talk about chicken overload, right? And you had the taco overload. That's a lot of chicken overload, right?
Yeah. You know, this guy, Wes, is such a glutton. He's such a gavone that I watched his Ponderosa video, his secret scene I guess he was like 180 pounds. Did you see this?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. Okay. I watched it last night in preparation for the show.
Yeah,
go ahead and tell him.
He's like
awesome.
180 pounds, and when he starts the game, and they're asking him like, "All right, Wes, you lost a lot of weight, and what do you think?" He's like 6 pounds. Like no, you lost 20 pounds, 116. Like, oh man, and then then he goes to Ponderosa, and like Jeremy and Josh are like trying to talk to him, and it's like, okay, so now what happened in the game? So then what happened? And then he would just like run away and just start like raiding the cupboard again.
Yeah, he's going through all the cupboards, and they're like sitting there waiting for him to come back.
So the next day they weigh him again, and he was 160 when he got out of tribal council. Like 12 hours later, 170.
Is okay, first of all, is that possible? I'm not a dietitian, I'm not an expert here, but is this possible?
I don't know how he did it.
I'm a meat collector.
I don't know how he did it, what he was collecting.
I don't know. What in the heck has he been? What did he eat in Ponderosa that he gained that much weight back in that short period of time?
I don't, like, what are the heaviest foods you could be drinking? Like, maybe it's like a lot of water. So, like, you say, okay, well, it's water weight, but I don't know how you could gain 10 pounds overnight.
Wow. That's a, well, maybe, I don't, maybe he had a lot of beer. I don't know, man. This is mind blowing to me. When I saw that, I was like, what?
Yeah.
He plays how much?
But I mean, he couldn't have been that malnourished. Like, he ate like a plate of chicken wings and two beers like that day, like the day of tribal council. Like,
that's
he
true.
Ate a big meal. Like, he, like, I don't see how, and he had the taco overload thing. Like, how, that was what, like 6-7 days previously in the game.
Right.
So I don't understand.
Well, we've seen to have a, is it just me or this is like the food season too? You know, we talked about the spinning thing. We've seen more contestants talk about food. Like, I mean, it's just, I understand that that's all you think about out there. I get it. But it just seems like they've shown us that these people really, really are thinking a lot about food. It just, I don't know. Is it just me or do you feel that way too?
Yeah, it's definitely been one of the easier seasons in terms of sustenance, of like what they've had to eat. Because, I mean, there was in the episode where Alec is walking around and he has that scene where he's talking to John about how much, like, oh, I'm 100%. Like, he's walking around and he's holding like a big fish in his hands. So, I mean, they have fish. They still have the rice from the swap. They're getting tacos. They're going on all sorts of different rewards and stuff like that. They're coming down from challenges to eat. So this is a well-fed cast.
I'll tell you what, if I ever get on Survivor, I really hope I get fed this much. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Hope that you get fed this much and hope it rains this little.
Yes. It's like the perfect, that's the perfect situation.
Yeah. It's really, really good.
You think Alex Stein could? I think Alex Stein could waste a I think he's. I think he easily could beat him. What do you think?
Boy, if my life depended on it, and I'd have to pick like one champion for the trial by combat of Wesley versus Primetime Alex Stein, boy,
is this a pay per view event?
Yes, yes. This is like if I was like on trial for something, and I had to choose my champion for the trial by combat.
Yes.
Primetime Alex Stein versus Wes Nail. I'm going to say, boy, I think I'd say Wes, only because I've seen Primetime Alex Stein try and fail to eat a Big Mac in one bite.
Oh, I almost forgot about that.
I've seen it in person. And I don't
you
think
were
I would,
there.
I don't think that Wes would fail at that.
No, you're right. The more I think about this, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And we just talked about how the kid was able to gain so many pounds in 12 hours. Which is, how many pounds was it? Six,
yeah, 10 pounds.
Pound,
yeah, he's
10 pounds.
10 pounds in 12 hours.
Yeah, you know, that's a kid who could put away food.
Like, he seems like the, like, you ever have like a dog that like eats so much that it gets sick and then it eats that too?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, like I could see that.
Yeah, I can see. He just like, keeps eating and
I'm
eating
wasting
and then,
all those nuggets.
Well, you know, his dad in this episode talked about his food weakness, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, Keith also said he was going to have a talk with Wesley after this.
Yeah, I hope he did.
He said, it might be a food weakness. I'm going to talk to Wesley after this. I'm going to talk to him.
Might have a food weakness, Keith. Might have a food weakness.
He might have a food weakness. I'll talk to him.
I'm going to say yes. He does.
He definitely
has a food weakness.
He definitely does have a food weakness. That's
I'm going to have to get him home and put him over my knee and have a talk with him about that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let's take another question.
Let's go to Dave Baker.
Hi, Rob. Dave Baker here. Wondering if you think that with all the criticism of this year's players, that whoever winds up winning will be considered one of the all-time worst winners. Thanks.
Will the winner of the season be considered the worst winner of Survivor ever, Jeremiah?
The reason why I don't like to judge on those kind of questions is only because I don't know who's going to win. But I mean, you know, we could like go through and judge who we think could possibly win this thing and whether or not we think they would be the worst winner. But I don't know. That is such as a question. It depends on your opinion as far as what is a bad winner. Right.
Yeah. But I think that this is a tough question to answer because it depends on who wins. You know, there's a couple players that we could say like, oh, they actually did a really good job. And then there's other players that could potentially win that we would say that they would be the worst winner. Because, you know, a lot of people have criticized the players this season and said that these aren't the best players we've ever seen.
These guys are so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people have said that. Yeah, but exactly. It depends. It depends on, you know, what ultimately ends up happening and the moves that happen. I mean, we're only down to the final eight. Like, I know it seems like we're getting far along in the season, but there's still eight people left in the game. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, that it is a lot. And I mean, there is certainly is people that are left that I wouldn't be nearly as satisfied as a winner. But, you know, I felt that way many times, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're the worst winner, right?
Yeah, I don't think that we can say that. We have to, it remains to be seen how the rest of the season plays out. So there's no way to tell right now of, you know, if a person is going to be the worst winner based on the gameplay in the season. Because you could have somebody like Kim, who was a great player, who played on a season where we say, okay, well, the gameplay was not that great in Survivor One World. Or same thing with Boston Rob, where we say, okay, this is a great player, but they played in a season where the gameplay isn't that great. And then you have other seasons where the gameplay is really exciting, but then sometimes you could have a winner who just like flies under the radar. And that tends to be what happens. The better the gameplay is, sometimes the less satisfying of the winner that you get.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. I mean, everybody's going to have a different opinion about it, you know. But, I mean, Dave, if you want to, when the season is over with, you can hit me up on Facebook, and I'll let you know if I think this was a satisfying winner. But, you know, I could tell him what I think, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to agree with me. So,
okay.
Like you said, it depends on your opinion. It really does.
Okay. All right, let's take our next question. Let's go out to Michael in Pasadena.
Hi, Rob, and Rob's mysterious guest. This is Michael calling from California, at Ferriston on Twitter. I was calling because I had a question about Pete at Tribal Council when he made the turkey move of blurting out, stick to the plan. I was wondering if that would ever be a good game move to do if you were in the crosshairs and you thought for sure you were going home and there really was no secret plan going on, but you just decided to say that and maybe look at somebody who you think that there might be derision in the alliance with a specific person and try to seed that doubt to create that kind of confusion that was happening in Tribal Council. It may not save you. It didn't really seem to change anyone's vote for Keith there, but who knows? It might have happened if somebody freaked out too much. So just wanted to see what you guys think, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend.
Thank you, Michael. All right, so this is an interesting idea, Jeremiah. So the thought is, all right, could you ever do the Keith blurt out the stick to the plan when there is not, in fact, a plan that you would be sticking to? and to me, this is like a Billy Madison plan. Because do you remember when Billy Madison was like in junior high school or like in ninth grade or whatever? And he's like in the classroom with the girl, and the guy is teaching about chlorophyll, and Billy Madison says to the girl like chlorophyll, more like borophyll, and she's like, ew, like get away from me, and then he just like blurts out like, no, I will not make out with you. And everybody starts like looking at the girl. That would be the same thing as this, hey, John, stick to the plan, all right? Remember what we talked about back at camp? And everybody's like, oh, John is talking to Rob. I'm going to save this for Survivor Rob's versus John's. I'm going to do this to John Paliak. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That would be, dude, that would be so awesome if you did. That'd be great.
Yeah. What do you think of this plan?
Sure. Why not?
The Billy Madison.
The Billy Madison plan. That sounds perfect. Yeah. I like that idea. You just blurt it out real loud like that. Just say, no, I'm not going to vote for him.
Yeah. Well, no, in this case, it would be like, hey, remember, stick to the plan you told me about, right?
Yeah. Remember that plan? I think it sounds like a brilliant idea myself. In all seriousness, you have to really, especially if your neck is on the line. I say anything goes. If your neck is on the line, anything goes as far as I'm concerned. If you think there's a possibility it could throw somebody off and make them change their vote. Right. I mean, I guess the only problem I have with that is pretty much everyone we've ever heard from that's ever played the game, including yourself, says that usually when people come to tribal council, they hardly ever change their vote.
Right.
But you know what? It's still worth the try if you're next on the line, right?
Yes. That is exactly why this plan will not work, because it really did happen. Like, it really did. Like, Keith really did say in front of everybody, like, hey, Reed, why don't we stick to the plan? and nobody changed their votes. Like, and he really was telling the truth about a plan that had come up. So then to make up a fake plan and that's going to make people change their vote. No, I don't think so. It's a good idea. It's under the, hey, you know, if your back is against the wall, let's, you know, go into the bag of tricks and try everything. But no, it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's probably not going to work. And I get what he's saying. He's trying to think of a different scenario, not this particular one, because you're right. This one, that's not the time to pull this plan off for sure. But it's probably not going to work, unfortunately. It could make for good television, though.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead. Let's take a question from Justin from New Jersey about this upcoming episode. And if you don't want to hear about something that was in the previews for the next episode, you probably want to skip ahead like 2 minutes.
Hey, Rob, this is Justin from New Jersey. Got a quick question. For the scenes for next week, it shows John and Jacqueline fighting. Do you think this is the first time that a couple will vote differently at tribal council? Thank you. And bye.
All right. So Justin is asking, is this the first time a couple is going to vote differently at tribal council? Well, we saw in the first Blood versus Water, clearly Laura and Sierra were not voting the same. So that has happened before in a Blood versus Water season. But how much are you buying this, Jeremiah, that next week, according to the previews, John and Jacqueline are going to get into a huge blow up at the worst possible time?
When I saw that, my first reaction was, this is a huge red herring. I mean, I'm sure they're going to have a fight, but I don't think it's necessarily going to mean that they're all of a sudden going to be voting differently with each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do you think that there is a possibility that they will turn on each other?
No, I think that's a possibility. That sounds like fans fiction there. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Fan fiction.
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
What do you think they're going to fight about?
Well, this is a good question. I'm not quite sure. My guess would be is it could very well be about who they're going after as far as votes are concerned. Like, maybe John wants to vote for, let's say, Alec, and Jacqueline wants to, well, that would make sense. Jacqueline want to vote for Alec and John wants to vote for Keith or something like that. I'm not quite sure, but it could very well be about the votes, because that's the only thing that makes a lot of sense, is they could be fighting about who they want to have, you know, out of the game, right?
Yeah, but would they get into such a big blowout over who to vote out next? Like, listen, I have gotten into bigger fights with my wife about things significantly less important. And I've had those fights today. Okay. And I'm not on Survivor. Okay. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but are we buying that John and Jacqueline are going to get into a huge blowout over who's the next person to vote out?
Okay, I see where you're going. There, you're saying there's more possibility that it's probably about something really minute and stupid.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's got to be something bigger than this, right?
Okay, so you do think it's something really big.
By the way, if Nicole and I were on a Survivor Blood versus Water, I mean, it would be the best TV season of all time. Like, my marriage could not survive it. But
I know my marriage wouldn't survive. Absolutely not.
My marriage barely survives the podcasts. Like, I'm
hey, my marriage barely survives all my podcasting too. Wow.
So I don't know, but I am looking forward to this. I think this is going to be interesting.
Okay, in the fairness, I am hoping that it's going to be something really epic and awesome because a real sticky situation. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yes, a right? very sticky situation between John and Jacqueline.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great television. I'm hoping it's going to be something fantastic.
All right, so we'll see. And one more thing that's preview related, and let's take a call and you tell me what you think. This is a caller named Judd.
Yo, Rob, it's Fabio from Survivor Nicaragua, and I wanted to know if you thought that the promo at the beginning of the season was a spoiler for the episode, because we all knew that John hadn't said something about burning the idol, and Keith, he didn't say anything about being stupid yet. So, yeah, thank you for everything, Rob. I miss being on the podcast. Call me one day. Bye.
Okay, how about that? The winner of Survivor Nicaragua, now available on DVD on Amazon.com. There's Judd Fabio Berza calling in on the hotline.
Wow, Wes and Fabio all in the same
one
episode.
Show. What a blockbuster show,
man! When you asked me to come on for the voicemails, I didn't know we were going to have such esteemed voicemail caller,
star studded show. Okay, so are you buying that Fabio is really picking apart the season long teaser, and that was this episode spoiled because John hadn't said about burning his idol yet?
I would be surprised to find that Fabio is actually watching Survivor.
And going back over the super tease.
Yes, yes.
Maybe,
I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But, I don't know. You know, there's got a lot of mileage, though, out of this preview. You know, I can't believe a lot of people have been talking about that thing. It's really set off a lot of people, hasn't it?
Yeah. So we'll see. Again, I watched it the one time. I would say that other than somebody quitting, nothing else was spoiled for me the entire season. So
I would agree.
You know, I hope they don't do it again next season. But again, it wasn't the end of the world for me.
I'm not a big fan of it. And yes, I'm like you. I watched it one time. Don't necessarily remember all of everything that was on there. But I think the things that got spoiled is the one, like you said, we already talked about. So.
Yeah,
I did not look at this episode and go, oh, man, I remember that promo preview thing. This is, you know, it did not spoil this episode for me.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about what's happening in the world of Survivor every week, headed up by Taylor Cotter and Mark Solera. I get the list of what's happening on Twitter, in the news, in the entire Survivorverse. And we like to talk about it here. And of course, let's jump into this a little bit belated on the weekend, but we've got a lot of stuff to get to. From the world of Survivor news, we haven't talked about this on the show. Jeremiah, I know a lot of people are doing their holiday shopping. Of course, we talked about Amazon already, but there's another huge destination people are going to for their holiday shopping. Did you know about this? For fine jewelry?
No, please tell me.
Yes. Jewelrybyjerry.com.
What?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Well, yeah. Have you ever seen those commercials where they say he went to Jared?
Yes.
Well, then
yes,
you should see what happens when you tell the woman he went to Jerry. She's like so excited, so happy.
You know, I've been wondering what I was going to get the wife for Christmas, but now I know.
Yeah. try that on Christmas morning. Like, yeah, I went to Jerry.
Shut your mouth, homie G.
No, I will not. So, yeah, check that out. Jewelry by Jerry, not a paid advertisement. That Jerry is taking, it looks like to me, she's taking heirloom silverware. She's taking old silverware and melting them and turning them into jewelry.
Holy cow, that's
that sounds dangerous.
It sounds a little dangerous, but wow, very, very creative.
Yeah.
That Jerry, so, she surprises me all the time.
Yeah. So there you go. That's
How about that?
What Jerry's up to, in addition to being a host of the AfterBuzz TV Survivor podcast, too.
Yeah. How about that? She's a busy lady.
All right. Let's talk about the Survivor birthdays this week. So Survivor's celebrating a birthday this past week. Of course, on the 27th, two Survivors share birthday. And I'll give them to you in alphabetical order appropriately. Of course, Eric Reichenbach. It was his birthday. And as well as, how about Sean Kniff celebrating a birthday? The 27th.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. Shane Powers had a birthday this week on the 28th.
I did see that on Facebook. Yep. Yeah.
Tanya Vance also had a birthday on Saturday. And also on Saturday, how about this? The great Dan Liu had a birthday on November 29th. Yes.
Dan Liu's birthday. Wow. How old is Dan? I don't even know.
Dan Liu, so he was born in 1975. So Dan Liu, believe it or not, I believe turned 39.
39, yeah.
Wow. I would not get that. Boy, he looks great.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks fantastic. He looks fantastic. And so Dan Liu, I remember when we were on Survivor the Amazon, like he was talking about like in the first week, he's like, my birthday is going to be while we're playing the game. So I have a birthday coming up. And it turned out that was not going to play out that way.
what a shame. man.
Today.
But at least you knew it was his birthday. That's important.
Yeah, we knew. Today, the 30th. How about this? It's a Survivor's birthday today. Willard Smith. Happy birthday.
Really?
Happy birthday, Willard, from Survivor Palau.
Wow.
And then later this week, Michelle Yee. It's her birthday on the 2nd. And Kim Powers on December 3rd.
Fantastic. Wow. that's quite a list of survivors right there.
Yeah.
Wow. Happy birthday to all of them. Seriously, that's fantastic.
All right, let's get into what some of the survivors are saying. Not a lot of the survivors were tweeting about the episode this week. You know, it was the holidays, and so everybody was kind of doing their own thing. But a couple of survivors were tweeting. Here is the great Jatia PhD. She tweeted, pizza, a cookie, wings, beer, water, an idol, and John's gratitude. Natalie totally won this Survivor episode.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like a ringing endorsement right there from Jatia.
A ringing endorsement from Jatia. Okay.
Wow.
Here's what Colton had to say. Colton Cumby said that the best advice I could give future survivors is everything I did, do the opposite. Do not eat the wings. Why? Did Colton eat wings on Survivor? Was that what brought on his appendicitis?
Oh, this is a good question. My memory does not serve me as far as remembering what he ate, but apparently maybe that's what he's implying.
Is Colton advising Survivor players to do a George Costanza and do the opposite of everything Colton? So instead of, instead of, going to the other tribe and trying to join them, so you stay with your tribe.
Right.
You also, you don't quit the game.
Yes, right. That's a good. That's
on
good
paper,
one.
This sounds like a winning
strategy. Yeah, I think he's really onto something here.
Yeah. Okay. Billy Garcia, the great Billy Garcia, and the incredibly popular on social media.
Yeah,
Billy Garcia.
He just tears it up on Twitter, doesn't he?
Yes. Yes. Real Billy Garcia is huge at the time of recording this. Real Billy Garcia up over 83,000 followers for Real Billy Garcia. He tweeted instead of Survivor San Juan del Sur, this season should be called Let's Make a Deal Castaway Edition.
Wow. Let's Make a Deal Castaway Edition. Very good.
Billy Garcia has a good point here. So there was a point in the challenge where Alec talked about being up there in the immunity challenge, said like, hey, this is just like Jesus on the cross. If he could stay, if he could, hang on there, that long, I can do it too.
Because this was exactly like that, right?
Yeah, this was exactly the same stakes as
same exact states as look, the crucifixion of Christ. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And I don't have a Rastafarian colored crucifix that I wear around my neck. So far be it from me. But I'm just gonna say, how about this? Like, let's not compare ever. Survivor immunity challenge to Jesus's death. I'm not a very religious guy. I'm just saying that's probably good practice.
Yeah, no, I hear you absolutely. I don't think it's a good
like
practice.
Let's never compare any of Survivor immunity or reward challenges to the death of any of the major religious deities.
Yes, I would stay. I would stay completely away from all of that discussion. Absolutely.
So Billy Garcia, he tweeted, "Just like Jesus on the cross." No one offered Jesus milk and cookies.
No, I don't believe so. Did he?
I don't think they
had chocolate chip cookies.
They were probably
like
trying to taunt him, like, "Hey, Jesus, you want to step down for wings?" You know, and just like, cause they were doing horrible things to him while he was up there.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think Jesus answered with, "Oh yeah, one time I ate 50 fish in 2 minutes."
But that was a miracle. You know? It was a miracle. Jesus started with only 8 chicken nuggets.
Is that what? Yeah.
RC at RC _ Survivor. She tweeted, "Could casting have picked a bigger set of morons this season?"
These fools.
Yes.
These guys are so dumb.
So RC's not happy.
No, apparently not. Do you think she's as upset as Eliza?
I don't know. Sophie tweeted, "I really like Jacqueline and John. I just don't like the way Jacqueline pronounces John." Now, how does Jacqueline pronounce John?
This is new to me. I didn't realize it. Is she pronouncing it incorrectly? What is she saying?
We'll have to look for that.
I need to hear a clip. Now.
I don't have a Jacqueline clip.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to pay more attention in the next episode.
Yeah. I know that Jeremy used to pronounce it like John. Like, like really like drag it out. But I don't know how Jacqueline's pronouncing it.
Yeah. No, I don't. I didn't pick up on it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Was it Sophie that said that?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Sophie. I didn't pick up on that. I'll have to pay more attention.
Okay.
Well, I have a feeling we're going to be hearing her scream his name quite a bit in the next episode.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Not that kind of show, Jeremiah.
Sorry about that. Sorry, everyone.
All right. Here's from Spencer. No, not Spencer Bledsoe, from Spencer Doom. Spencer Token Teens. Spencer. He said, "You got to wing it sometimes, pun, and risk it to get the biscuit." Comment might have given Wes the best final words ever.
Wow, that's a tall statement to say that.
No, that is factually. That's not correct.
Now, I have to admit, I was intrigued by that, what he said, though. I mean, where did he come up with that, I wonder?
Yes. I'm not sure, but if Token Teens Spencer wants to get his tweets regularly into the social media segment, he has to tone down the hyperbole on the Wes having the greatest final words ever.
Yeah.
Let's tone that down.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's right.
Shut your mouth, homie G.
Yes, shut your mouth, homie G.
Yeah, is Spencer, is he homie G? I really don't. I don't know.
He might be. He might be. Morgan Stradling. These are some tweets from the RJP community. She tweeted, "Today during a hard spin class, my husband yelled, 'Dig, woman.'"
Dig, woman.
And a lady looked at me and was like, "He gets away with that?" Yeah, I guess so. Jeff Probst.
You know, I've tried that on my wife. It didn't work very well.
You said "dig, woman" to your wife?
Yeah.
Was she actually digging?
No, she wasn't. She was in the kitchen working. I was trying to like say, "Hurry up with my dinner, dig, woman." You know, and that didn't go very well. So I would not suggest that, by the way, for any of the married men out there. Don't say that to your wife. It doesn't work very well.
Dig, good woman.
this I wish I could have seen this though. Did this happen in a gym?
I don't know. Oh, okay. I don't know.
Wow.
Jessica Lise tweeted a special 2-hour episode. Are they burning them off? What did you do at Kurt Clark? What did you do? Is this a sign of the Clark curse that Survivor is being canceled, that they're doing 2 episodes in one night?
Oh no, Jessica slamming poor Kurt Clark. Oh, poor Kurt. He's never going to live this curse stuff down, will he? Poor guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just nonstop for him. I just, you know, and I have to admit, I've done it myself. So
yes. Yes. You've gotten a show canceled.
No, I mean, not necessarily get a show canceled. I mean, give poor Kurt Clark a hard time about a show being canceled.
Well, sometimes,
I think one time I told him, don't stop watching Survivor or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, Kurt Clark, he watches the show and then they want to cancel it. I don't know if he was catching the Millers and planning on doing a podcast on that, but anything that Kurt Clark touches, these shows, that they get canceled immediately.
Yeah, in all fairness to Kurt, it is only the shows he podcasts about, right?
Yes, yes. Although not the international Big Brother. That has not been canceled yet.
Okay, good. See, he's got one in his belt. He's all right.
Okay. And how about this? Haley Strong touches on, I'll bet this immunity challenge isn't the only place where John only lasts 7 minutes. Hey-o.
Yeah. Hey, I thought this was a family show.
Yes. Let's play the clip in question. This is Jeff talking about John in the challenge.
Okay.
John lasted 7 minutes.
All it's been.
Oh, that's all. That's all it's been. All right, but if anything, that he made the 7 minutes feel like they were longer.
That's true.
So,
and that's really the key. That's the key, right?
Now, what's the better response? Is that like, that John only lasted 7 minutes?
John lasted 7 minutes.
Does John want to hear Jacqueline say, oh my God, the 7 minutes flew by? It felt like it was only 2 minutes. Or does she, or what it sounds like?
All it's been.
She's like, it felt like an hour.
Ooh, yes, that's the one I think he wants.
See, like I think I, the other way. I think it's the time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that's a good point.
Like, oh my God, that was 7 minutes? Because it felt like only like 1 minute.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, all right, I follow you now. You know, I think what's kind of funny is that he only lasted 7 minutes and gave in for sugar. What does that say? I don't know.
I don't know.
And then his reaction to, like, sugar!
Yeah, they give him, like, the con!
Was the locals, like, nearby going, what the hell's going on over there? What are they filming again?
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. So, Jeremiah... Yes. We need a hashtag for this episode.
Oh, we definitely have to consider the homie G.
Homie G, that's what.
Yeah, homie G for sure.
That's what, you know, I was thinking
too. Long,
shut
too short.
Your mouth, homie G.
Yes. I want people to tweet me all the time about homie G. That'd be awesome.
You want your nickname to be homie G? Just
yeah,
like,
well, why not?
And then they say like, hey, homie G. And then you answer, and they'll write, and they say back to
I'm
you.
I'm not talking to you. Well, I heard
smarty
it.
Poo.
I'm not talking to you, smarty poo. Talking to Missy.
That's right. And, you know, she's going to be writing that next big hit, Homie G. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay, that'll be very fun. We are also tomorrow night going to get ready for the Cody cast. Going to talk with Candace and John Cody. So if you want to get some voicemail questions in for the Codys, you can get them in. I'll play some voicemails for the Codys. If we get them, go to robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. I'll put up a question thread as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/RobHasAPodcast. So Wes' interview coming tomorrow. Very excited for that.
This is the official one, right?
Yes, the official Wes interview coming on Monday afternoon on Rob Has a Podcast. And then also we're going to have the Amazing Race exit interview a little later in the week. Also, the latest eliminated team from the Amazing Race, they couldn't do the exit interview on Monday for whatever reason. We're going to talk to them on Wednesday. It's not a Whitney and Keith situation.
Right, yes.
It's not a Whitney and Keith situation. Yeah, not a Whitney and Keith situation.
Very good. So you will be talking to him, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Very good. Okay.
I said it's not a Whitney and Keith situation.
Okay, gotcha.
So we're going to talk to them as well. I thought this was a fantastic episode of The Amazing Race this past Friday, if you've been following it. So check out my recap of that from Friday night. And then also, Jeremiah, it's the Walking Dead mid-season finale Sunday night. Josh Wigler and I over on Post Show Recaps are going to be covering the mid-season huge finale of The Walking Dead.
That's going to be huge. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's going to be extremely huge.
This is huge.
Yeah. So we'll cover that as well on Sunday night. All right, Jeremiah, thank you so much. If you want to shout out to homie G, Jeremiah, your Twitter handle is at J Panhorst, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
P-A-N-H-O-R-S-T for the homie G, Jeremiah.
Homie G, that's right.
Would you be more of a homie J?
Oh, that's a good point. I probably should be homie J, right?
Yeah.
That make more sense.
Yeah, that would make more sense. All right. So, Jeremiah, thank you so much. Anything else that you've got coming up that you want to tell people about?
Not on the horizon right now. I'm just enjoying the Survivor season. So I don't have anything big coming up next at this particular moment, but I'm sure hopefully in 2015, I know there's a couple possibilities of some shows that maybe be covering on Post Show Recap. So I'm looking forward to that. And of course, you got the big final half of Mad Men is going to be at early part sometime next year too. So that'll be the big things that's coming up soon. So I'm looking forward to that. So, and I don't know if you knew this or not, Rob, but talking to Rob Cesternino about Survivor is on my podcast bucket list. So I'm here right now. I got my piece of paper. I'm marking off now. So now I have just a few more things to work out, and I've got my bucket list filled out.
What else is on the rest of the bucket list?
Well, one of them is I'm going to have to... I have to become a tech specialist and be interviewed by Leo Laporte. Now, since I'm not a tech specialist, I'm going to have to work on that. Become extremely famous so I can get interviewed by somebody like the Nerdist podcast, like Chris Hardwick or something like that. Now, the latest one I thought about adding to this is have my life story be mentioned on the next season of Serial. What do you think about that? And that could be...
No, you don't want that.
I thought, yeah, the more I think about this, it could be bad. So, you know, hold on. I'm crossing this off the bucket list now. You're right. That's a bad idea.
You don't want that. Yeah.
No, it could be. That could be bad.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Serial?
Now I am now. Yeah. Now that everybody's been telling me to listen to it.
I know.
It, so.
I've been going back and over the weekend, I was listening to a lot of different podcasts about Serial. And the idea that I wanted to do is I wanted to do a Serial parody where, yes, I was going to reopen the case of the conviction in the court of public opinion of Janet Koth of bringing the granola bar into the, yes, women's camp in, mm-hmm, Survivor the Amazon. And I'm going to call, yes, it Cereal Bar.
Ooh, I like the name too. This is perfect. This is perfect.
Incoming call from Janet Koth. I'll talk to Janet and I interview all of the women from Jobberoo and then talk to them, and Jean's testimony said that she saw Janet pull it out of her bag, but Janet says no.
this is great. Now could you get a special sponsor for this, perhaps, maybe like a
like MailChimp?
Yeah, like MailChimp.
I don't know. Sky's the limit, Jeremiah. Sky's the limit.
I mean, I'm telling you, the sky is the limit, and I know I would listen to this podcast for sure.
All right. Well, take care, everybody. Have a great week. And if you haven't checked out any of those Cyber Monday deals, it's the best day of the year to get in and get some of these great deals for all your holiday shopping. Go to robhaswebsite.com/Amazon or robhaswebsite.com/AmazonCA to help support Rob as a podcast and get the best possible deals this holiday season. And take care, everybody. Bye.